We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Dr. Jones' message is one in a series entitled Word of Truth.
For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. These verses are the 11th and 12th verses of the 14th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. This was written with a pen of inspiration. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the words of this Bible cannot fail. It's in God's holy book. God says it. Every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Now, since I am to meet God sometime, I'm glad I'm to give an account of myself to Him. God permits me to do that. I'm glad that my mother's not to give an account of me. My mother was a wonderful Christian. She died when I was 14 years old. And I know she'd do her best for me. But my mother didn't always understand me. I'm glad that my rugged old Christian father is not to give an account of me when I face the judgment bar of God. My father would help me all he could. He was a wonderful man. But my father didn't always understand me. I'm glad that my wife, to whom I've been married many years, will not give an account of me. I know she'd help me out all she could. She's been faithful through the years, but she doesn't always understand me. God is so good. He's going to permit you and me to stand in His presence and answer for ourselves. That's fair. That's right. God's a just God. Nobody understands the man that's talking to you now except the man himself. You might see me do something and you might misjudge my motives. But God says, I'll let you answer for yourself. And yet, many women, that's very solemn. We misunderstand each other so much in this world. You've heard the story over and over again about how men slander each other, misunderstand each other, and what happens to them. Years ago, an awful rumor got out on a preacher. He was a pastor of a church. He was a good man, everybody said. But when this rumor got out, everybody believed the rumor. They took his credentials away from him. They kicked him out of his church. And the man shut himself up at home. He moped around the house and never went uptown anywhere. And one day he walked into his study and fell dead. When he was dead, the doctor said he died of a broken heart. A few days after his death, all the rumors proved to be false. He died disgraced in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God, he was all right. You know, there are some people that'll dip their tongues in the slime of slander and speak the death warrant to the reputation of good men and good women. Sometimes people think we're bad when we're good, but more often they think we're good when we're bad. After all's done and said, you know, this is a pretty charitable old world. I'd like to ask you something. Suppose everybody knew you just exactly like God knows you. Would you stand as well as you stand with men? Suppose your wife knew you just like God knows you. Suppose your husband knew you just like God knows you. Suppose everybody knew you just like you know yourself. It's a pretty solemn thing when you look at it that way, isn't it? We're an answer to God for what we are. We're accountable to God for our character, not for our reputations. You know, a man's character is what God knows him to be. A man's reputation is what men think he is. And you can have one kind of character and another kind of reputation. I've been a preacher of the gospel for a long time. And I've had the people who were supposed to be the best people in the world make the most awful confessions to me. I couldn't believe them sometimes. I almost thought they were insane. They've told me something happened in their lives. Strange and wicked and awful things. What are you today in the sight of God? You know, there's a big difference between what a man is and what his wife thinks he is. And sometimes there's a big difference between what a woman is and what her husband thinks she is. When I started out as a boy years ago, I had the utmost respect for women. To me, every woman in the world was as pure as the driven snow on mountaintops, the snow untouched by raindrops and unsoiled by dust. I thought every woman was a good woman. And I never shall forget the shock that came to me when I got out in the world and learning that that was not true, that there are women who are bad. Some of the worst sins ever committed have been committed by women. We talk about men, you know, but women seem to have more heart, and when they get into sin, they seem to go to deeper depths. What are you tonight? What are you right now in your home today? What are you in the sight of God? Now, you can't pop a sham life off on God. You may pop one off on your husband or your wife or your father or your mother or your brother or your sister, but you can't pop a sham life on Almighty God. Sometime, you're going to walk up into God's presence and look God straight in the eye. You're going to answer to God what you are. I remember a couple came to me one time and told me about murdering their own child. They talked to me about it. They said, what are we going to do? Should we confess and go to the penitentiary or maybe to the electric chair? What must we do? Nobody knows, but God and we know. Yes, that's what counts. God does know. You can't hide from God. I'm talking to somebody today that could never look into your wife's eyes again if your wife knew all about you. But you're going to look into God's eyes sometime, and God Almighty knows. Somebody listening to me now, maybe some girl that could never turn your guilty eyes into the eyes of a pure mother. You couldn't look at her straight if your mother knew all about you. But you look into God's eyes someday, and God Almighty knows. What are you today in the sight of God? Now, don't dodge the issue. Don't try to back off from it. Let's face it. You're going to face it someday. You're going to answer to God for what you are. You're going to stand in His presence. Always I've gone up and down the country and met people and had them tell me things I could hardly believe them. I remember a man one time said, people think I'm decent, but I'm a thief. I've stolen money. I'm a thief. Say, what are you today? Never mind what people think. Never mind what your preacher thinks about you. What are you in the sight of God? You're going to answer to God someday for just exactly what you are. You're going to give an account of God, to God for your thoughts. Oh, but you say, Bob Jones, I can't help what I think. Well, you better, because the Bible says that a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And we're told to bring every thought into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll answer to God for your thoughts. Years ago, a man every day going to and from his business, a respectable citizen of the town, and he passed a bank and looked into the money. One day he walked by that bank and he said, somebody could get that money. Now, I said, of course, I wouldn't do it, but somebody could. And he just kept saying it every time he passed. Somebody could get that money. One day he walked by there, he said, you know, I could break into that bank myself and get it. I wouldn't do it, but if I did do it, I'd be as good as that old crook up yonder, that old hypocrite. I'd be just as good as he is if I did break in. He kept thinking about breaking in, thinking about stealing. One day he walked by there, he said, I'm going to get that money. I'm going to break into that bank. I'm going to steal that money. That night he broke into the bank and they caught him. And they tried him and sent him to the penitentiary. He thought about stealing till he became a thief and stole. Back of every tragedy in human character, there's a process of wicked thinking. You're accountable to God not only for what you think, you're accountable to God for what you say. You're going to be brought into judgment for your words. A man's words betray his character. You talk like you talk because you are like you are. A man swears and said, I don't mean anything by swearing, just a habit. Don't defend yourself. Don't pat yourself on the back. A man may commit some sins through weakness. He may get drunk because he is born with an appetite for whiskey. He may stumble and fall into some sins because he's weak. But there's no excuse for profanity. A man who cusses, cusses for pure cussedness. When God wrote the commandments, he said, thou shalt not steal and stop. He said, thou shalt not kill and stop. And then he got the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He chiseled in marble a comment on that. He said, I will not hold him guiltless that takes my name in vain. Yes, you'll answer to God what you say. The cruel words that you said to your mother. The unkind words you said about your neighbor. The wicked things you said on some street corner somewhere. You'll answer to God someday. You can't escape it. You're going to meet your words when you meet God in judgment. And then you'll be judged by your deeds done in the body. The deeds you do. Your words are thoughts spoken. Your deeds are your thoughts crystallized into action. We shall be judged for the deeds done in the body. You're going to answer to God. Say, this is pretty solemn, isn't it? I begin to think of about what I've said and about what I've thought, about what I've done, and then I think of judgment. And then I'm answered to God for my relation to His law. God has a law. God set up some standards. Now notice a minute. Take the Ten Commandments. Have you broken any of those? Did you ever take God's name in vain? Did you ever steal? Did you ever covet? Did you ever kill anybody? Oh, you say, I haven't done that. Well, I'm not so sure. Great many murderers in this country. I've seen girls and boys that kill their mothers with their sins. Many a mother's died because a boy stepped on her heart. I've known some wicked men to stick daggers of cruelty in the hearts of their wives and kill them. You know, you don't have to just go up and cut somebody's throat to be a murderer or shoot somebody. You can kill somebody by slow, tormenting degrees. You can kill them with cruelty, and you'll answer to God someday. Men will go to the judgment with the blood of their wives on their hands. They'll go to the judgment with blood of mother on their hands. Yes, you'll answer to God. You can't get out of it, and you better face it. Well, you say, Bob Jones, that's an awful picture. Yes, it is. It's a terrible picture, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wage of sin is death. The soul of sin is it shall die. So, if we've sinned, we're going to meet God and give an account to God. Well, you say, what am I going to do about it? Well, I want to hang a rainbow of hope over this cloud. You know, there's one wonderful thing. You know, all the stains are on the past. All the pages of all the tomorrows are clean. Isn't that wonderful? I haven't soiled any page of any tomorrow. I've soiled all the pages of the past, and you have too. But you know, there's nothing against me in the future. What am I going to do about it? Well, somebody says, I'll turn a new leaf and start on a clean page. That's good. What about the past? Now, wait a minute. I know somebody that can blot out your sin. I know somebody that can hide forever your sin from His gaze. He'll remove them as far as from you as east is from the west. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, He'll save you. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think about it when I stand in the presence of God and I think that I've sinned against Him. And the judge on the bench is the one against whom I've sinned. But you know, my lawyer is the only begotten Son of the Father and the judge. And the Son will plead my case. And He'll hold up nail-pierced hands. And He'll show a wounded side. And He'll say to the Father, I'll stand for him. He did sin, but He trusted me and turned His case over to me and believed on me as a Savior. And I saved him. And listen, He'll never lose a case. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ never lost a case. And if He pleads my case at the bar of the sky, I'm not concerned. I'm sorry I've sinned. I wish I hadn't done some things I've done, and I hope you feel that way too. It's terrible to sin against the love of God and a holy God, but it's a wonderful thing to know we have a God who sent His Son to die for us, and it's possible to be saved. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, why don't you trust Him now? God help you to do it. You can do it right this minute. And don't put it off. God bless you. We're going to pray that you will. Somebody now, as we make this recording, somebody that hears it will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. God bless you.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.